A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wing in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped, his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The cage bird sings with a fearful thrill of things unknown but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade wind soft through the sighing trees, and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright loam, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams, his shadow shouts on a nightmare scream, his wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful thrill of things unknown but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. A Caged Bird by Maya Angelou. Last May, Maya Angelou died. This year, back around the 1st of April, you recall that the United States Post Office issued a forever stamp in her memory, and you'll recall there was a great deal of confusion about that quote. The poem that I just read and that you have heard, I'm sure, contains multiple metaphors. It also represents several thoughts, themes, and ideas. It talks about two birds. One is trapped in a cage, and one flies freely around. The cage bird, as you may know, represents the African American, one who has been enslaved, while the free bird represents the white American, who has been completely free. Aside from the caged and free birds, other metaphors are the breeze and the fat worms. Don't get too hungry this morning. The poem also represents hope and opportunity. The poet portrays a great future and hope for that trapped bird, irrespective of its present condition. The bird is expected to persevere in hope and never to quit, since the future spells freedom and greatness for it. I don't know about you, but I think the poem speaks loudly to this day, this weekend of Memorial Day celebration, when we give thanks and we remember those who fought and died for the freedom of this country. But also, it speaks for the church on this Sunday of Pentecost. For as believers in Christ, we are free if we will choose to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Luke in Acts says, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a mighty wind. Our friends and neighbors out west and in Texas have been experiencing tornadoes of unparalleled proportion. The sound, the rush of the wind is that powerful and related to the Spirit. But we must remind ourselves, or caution ourselves, that the coming of the Holy Spirit is not a New Testament and Christian addition to God. The Holy Spirit has always, always been at work. With the beginning of time and history is where the Holy Spirit began, at its very beginning, if we go back to the book of Genesis and the birth of the world. As the story unfolds now, though, in Acts, we are seeing the birth of the church. The church is becoming both the witness and the bearer of God's Spirit. Jesus has ascended into heaven. He is no longer visibly with his disciples and his followers. And now the church is to be Christ. It is almost the way Luke tells us of this celebration, that it is an inaugural event. For them, it was the beginning, but not really the beginning of the Spirit. The coming of the Spirit was audible. That sound of a violent, rushing, tornadic wind. The coming of the Spirit was visible as a fire all around them, as a divided tongues, as people spoke in other languages and tongues. It was a new beginning for the church. We call it the birthday of the church. The gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, three persons in Trinity. It is not a third God nor a one-third of God. The Holy Spirit is nearness and power anytime and anywhere. The same divine presence as we celebrate on Christmas when we talk about Emmanuel born with us. The Spirit is the same. It is just not in human flesh. And thus for us becomes hard to often understand and grasp. Peter, the disciple, the one who always spoke out, interprets for us the event of the Pentecost as fulfilling the prophet Joel's prophecy. When Joel wrote, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy." The day of Pentecost became the day the church spoke. It moved from silence to language. It moved from not being seen to being out front. For God so loved the church, He gave us something we could not contain and cannot contain to this day. The church began to talk, and the whole world heard the good news in its own native tongue. The question we ask ourselves, where will the Spirit lead us in days ahead? Or where is the Spirit leading us today? It was on that day that the church grew from a few hundred to thousands. Those who were shy became bold. Those who were scared and searching for direction became found. Even those 12 disciples who had been told to and shown how to minister were not just discovering their abilities within themselves they knew they had. They were beginning to now put it all together and to understand. Jesus sends the Spirit, telling us that the Spirit will not stop working, will not stop drawing us, each and every one, into that divine whirlwind of God's own grace. The invitation has been given to the church. The gift is there for the taking. The question for each of us, both as individuals and as the people who call ourselves church, do we still believe in the transforming power of God's grace and Spirit? Tom Long, who has been at this pulpit with the Parker Lectures, professor in Atlanta, Ray and I often quote him a great deal, one of the great preachers of the 21st century, shared these thoughts in a gift about the Holy Spirit. He asked the question, I don't know if you've had the slightly embarrassing experience of having someone give you a gift. You're given the gift, only to find out when you open it, you do not have the foggiest idea of what it is, or what it was meant for, or what you're supposed to do with it. I mean, there you are, he says, and asks, on a Christmas party, at a company function, a wedding shower, on your birthday party, and someone hands you a beautifully wrapped package.
Can't get it open.
Now, how do you unwrap your gifts? Very neatly, right? Take a little tape. You open your gift. As you pull out the ribbon, you're taking the wrapping paper off. Everyone's eyes are on you. You're looking at me, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You open the box. There it is. Is it a pencil sharpener? A coffee grinder? Maybe it's a scarf or a bow tie? Earrings or fishing lures? Of course, the one who gave you the gift is looking right at you with eager anticipation, as if to say, do you like it? And finally, out of courtesy, what do? You say something like, how could you have known I needed it? Thank you so very much. I needed a tire pressure gauge. Only to hear that voice say, tire gauge is a meat thermometer. There's something of the same uncertainty of a gift, but in a deeper sense, about Pentecost. We know the story. You studied it in Sunday school. You've been studying it every year. We talk about the Spirit. We know about the leaders of that church, early church, who gathered in that one place, and suddenly it was like the doors were wide open. The wind blew through. Something was taking place. And then they begin to speak in languages that were unheard of, but then interpreted. They begin speaking the gospel. Here on Pentecost, on that day, something has been given to the church. Something's been given to you, to me. And it's a gift from God. But when we open it, what exactly is it? Of course, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. God gave the church His very self. We have been able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to have Christ in us. But when you take off that wrapping paper, what exactly is the Holy Spirit? It's not a pencil sharpener. It's not a meat thermometer. But are we not fascinated by the story and what all takes place? The power moving like we've never heard before and hearing it like a freight train coming through a congregation of tongues resting on people's heads. And then we stop back and say, I know what the gift is. I know what it is. What do you think the gift is in this moment and time and space for a church in May of 2015 in the city of Lexington, North Carolina? What is the gift? As citizens of this great country and world, we have been afforded the gift of freedom. It is precious, and we must cherish it. We must also champion it for people everywhere in this community and beyond. On this Memorial Day, we must not only honor and remember the gift, we must also give thanks. But we almost should always step back and ask ourselves, we've been given the gift of freedom, now what do we do with this gift? As sinners saved by the grace and love of God, we must take the gift of the Holy Spirit and let the winds of God's presence fill each of us and this church. Only a fool would pray for the Holy Spirit, writes Alan Jones, dean of the Episcopal Cathedral of San Francisco. But he goes on to say, only fools for Christ do, suggesting for us that the Spirit is most present at three opening spaces in our lives. In the unpredictable, in a place of risk, and in those areas over which we have no control. When we yield ourselves to God, there is no telling what He will do in our lives as individuals and as the people of His church. In the unpredictable, in the place of risk, and in those areas which we have no control, those first disciples were in that situation, and that is where we are most of the time in our journey as well. Today on Pentecost Sunday, we need first to recognize that we have been given the gift. And after receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, we must let the winds of the Spirit blow through us and His church so that a word of good news and hope that is unlike any other gift will touch and change not only us, but those around us. But you shall receive power, we are told in the book of Acts. And when the book of Acts ends, the church has moved all the way from Jerusalem to Rome. All the barriers that were there then are still here today. Rich and poor, black and white, male and female, young and old, caged and uncaged. And the list goes on. But so is the promise that was given to those disciples. The gift is there as well. You shall receive the power. You shall receive the power. Have you opened the gift? yet. The caged bird sings with a fearful thrill of things unknown but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill. For the caged bird sings of freedom. Thanks be to God for his gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.